Great. Good morning, Bay City Church and all our visitors. Good morning. There's a lack of vibe here this morning. Family dynamic, family on mission. You know, I was just worshiping this morning and I just, this thing of what we were just singing, fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm in your love. And I asked Abby this question this morning. I said to her, Abby, why do we go to church? And Abby said, for fun. And I said, okay. I said, that's a pretty cool answer. I think church should be fun. I think church should be a blast, not only for us as adults, but for our kids. And I think we're doing something right, pointing our kids to Christ, if they can say, hey, I'm having fun when I go to church. Abby looks forward to coming to church. But then I thought, okay, let me ask her again. And is there something else that for a reason why you come to church? And she said, because Jesus loves us. Yeah. And that came from herself. I was quite impressed because I don't know where it comes from. But the love of Christ. You know what the Bible, what Jesus says? He says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. You know that before we are witnesses out in the world with the gospel message, we love one another. Actually, our demonstration of love, the way that we serve one another and lay down our lives for one another, that is a greater witness to the world than the speaking it out. Jesus says, your love for one another, that is a testimony and it is a witness to this world. I want to say this morning, we're going to create a moment after this preach, and I'm not going to be too long. I'm probably going to be about 15 minutes, but we're going to create some space this morning where we're going to say, God, here am I. Use me. This is what I have. This is the gift that you have placed within me. I'm not going to use any excuses this morning, but I'm going to say, God, I'm going to trust you that I can be used by you this morning. But look, I want to say, it's not only about what happens in this meeting, it's also what we do with what happens in this meeting, what happens out there when we take what God has done here. Because we want this world to encounter Christ in the same way that we have encountered Christ. But I tell you what, if we cannot be involved and connected and love one another in this place, how will we ever do it out in the world? And so this morning, we're going to ask you to be bold. We're going to ask you to take a little bit of risk. We're going to ask you to be a little bit vulnerable, because we acknowledge and we realize that an active and effective church is a church that is built up, that is filled with courage. I want to say the church represents something greater than just a meeting on a Sunday. It's more than a building. It's more than a location. But it represents the body of Christ. It's not something we go to. It's rather something who we are. It's who you and I are. Let that settle in your hearts, because there is a responsibility that you and I carry as the church, as the body of Christ. Christ, when he came to earth in bodily form, walked this earth with incredible purpose. That's what he did. He gave his life. He came to serve, not to be served. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. He died upon the cross for you and for me. He took our place on the cross. Not only did he take our place, he gave us his righteousness. And now you and I in Christ are made right with the Father. Never to fear again, but just to be a family, a people filled with the love of God. Not only for ourselves, but for the world that still needs to hear Christ, still needs to hear the message of Christ. But Christ was crucified, he died and was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And it says for 40 days, he appeared to about 500 people, revealing himself that he is indeed alive, not just alive spiritually, but alive in bodily form. That's an incredible statement. It's an incredible statement. He could have said, I'm going to rise in spiritual form. How do you prove that? You can't. And yet today, they cannot find his bones. They cannot find his body. The way that they see his body is through you and me. Because Christ has ascended. You and I, friends, represent the body of Christ. You and I, it's who we are. Listen to the scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. It says this, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ." So who does the work? It's his church. It's the body of Christ. It's us together, not just the leadership, not just the eldership. It's you and I together being equipped for every work that God has called us to. It continues and it says this, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind or new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, and this is what I want to focus on, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, his church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly." I love that. This world is trying to make unity with different cultures and nations and races, and we are failing at it. But Christ is the only one that is able to bring us together and unite us. It's Jesus. And it is our responsibility to do the same as his church. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language, every place on this earth, God has called us, you and I, the church, to be his hands, his feet. But it needs to begin here in this meeting before it begins out there. It needs to begin in the church before it begins out there. Let's read this. I want to read this one more time. "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Each person, you, me, each person, each member of God's household has some special work that enables others to grow so that the entire church is healthy. I apologize about that. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up." So he says, when you come together, and I'm talking about whether we are in a Sunday meeting or in our life groups, which we meet during the week, which are important moments for us, because that's how you build relationship. That's how we grow in our knowledge of Christ, not only in these meetings, but in those. But more than just meetings, friends, it's when we connect around a cup of coffee, when we have a bride together. We're still the church. We don't change. But it says, when we come together, we all have something to give. And what you have to give does not benefit yourself. It is meant to benefit someone else. It's meant to benefit his church and his body. A funny thing I was thinking about in my brain, these things happen generally. I said the hand was never meant to be created for itself. The hand. I was like, how can the hand help itself? I can't put a ring on my finger. I don't know what I can do with a hand if it's just a hand. But I don't know if you've ever had an itchy nose before. Never. But if you've had an itchy nose and your hands have been trapped, oh man, that's the worst. It is honestly the worst. I am so thankful and grateful for this right hand because I get to serve my nose by scratching it. The point I'm making is this, that you and I together play a significant role in the well-being and growth of the church. When we gather, the purpose of building up the church is that we would be filled with courage, equipped, empowered to do what God has called us to do, to know Jesus and to make him known, that we would stop at nothing to see this king made famous, to see this king lifted up over Port Elizabeth and over government institutions and over South Africa and the Eastern Cape and Africa and the world and to the furthest regions of our country and our world. Because we want people to know about Christ. We want people to experience Jesus. And the way that they experience Christ is through you and through me. A church that is filled with courage, friends, will be an effective church. We need courage in this country. We need courage, friends, to go to places where the gospel is not wanted. We need courage to stand upon God's truth when people reject it. We need courage to follow Christ wherever he might lead us. And we need courage, friends, for God to use us, because he always calls us beyond our abilities, beyond our control. And that's the best place to be, because that's where God is and where God is at work. We need to take ownership. Ownership of one another, of this church's well-being, but taking ownership of a responsibility in the call of God. I want to say, in some ways, we have grown up in a culture, in a church culture, in some ways that I think has produced spectators rather than participators. It's always someone else's responsibility. We come to church, we sing a few songs, we listen to a sermon, we have a cup of coffee, and we go home. And then we repeat this next week. I'm all for meetings. I love the church. I love gathering together. I love life groups. I love people. That is the whole point, isn't it? But friends, spectators do not get involved. In fact, I think spectators look at everything that is wrong. They have the greatest solutions to bring change, but they do nothing to do it. It's like we look at the government to be the reason why, you know, we look to government and our schools and our universities to be the agents of change, to be the things that bring change to our societies and transformation and unity. But that was never God's plan. I trust for godly governance. I trust for men and women in schools that will lead. And that's where we are. That's who we need to be as the church. But what I'm saying is, this is what the scripture says. It says that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the powers and principalities. You see, God's plan to bring transformation to this world is through you and through me, his church. We are the body of Christ. We are his chosen vehicle. There is no other chosen vehicle. It's you. It's me. It's us together. The church is God's vehicle, like I said. And I want to read this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Lee, can I ask you to come up to share that word? Brad, do you have the mic? But let's read the scripture as a foundation for the word that Lee had at our leaders' meeting on Tuesday. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Say us. It's our responsibility. Our responsibility. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Say us. It's our responsibility. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What an amazing God we serve. Man, I want people to know this King. But it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to do that. It's our responsibility, church. Lee, share that word with us.
Cool. Good morning, church.
For once, yes.
That felt good, man. Okay, yeah. Just to tie in with that, on Tuesday evening we had a meeting. The majority of us came there after work, and so we were wearing our work attire. And as we were just talking and praying, this scripture came to mind as well. And Isaiah 52, verse 7, you may be familiar with it. It's how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation. We are ambassadors of Christ, are we not?
Yeah.
Everybody say us.
You're learning.
Yeah. So it was just in that moment that I was looking around, and I was sort of standing in this pose as well, and I started to notice everybody's shoes. And a shoe is designed to fit a particular person, and it's also designed for a particular purpose. I had my safety shoes on. I saw somebody with slops. Somebody else had, you know, fancy shoes. You catch my drift. And so in the same way, God has purposed us. Those shoes are taking you to a particular place that, you know, maybe slops aren't meant for. We wouldn't. It's not that they can't go there. It would just be uncomfortable. You're not purposed for that reason. And so in the same way, God has actually activated and purposed you to go to this place and be effective there. You, sir. You, ma'am. And it's so easy for us to default to say, well, the likes of Grant or the eldership or Jono are going to be the people who actually go and do this, because they're already activated in their calling. They are active. But they might not be able to reach the area that I'm called to be in. We are all ambassadors of Christ. Every single one of us are called and ordained in a particular area. Seek that thing out. And just good. This morning as well, in prayer meeting, don't do it tomorrow. Do it today.
That's good. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Lee. It's a great word, buddy. Our little cheerleader, Mr. Lee Arthur. But that word is so incredible. You know, there are people that will never put a foot into church. Never put a foot in this building where the church gathers. But that's why I love what God does. He doesn't expect them to come here, but he takes his church and he puts them into this world. And he reveals himself. You know, I want to say your work environment, as much as it is a place to earn an income and provide for yourself and your family, as much as studies might be a place that you're getting an education where you can prepare for your future, or school or whatever it might be, it might be gym, it might be a place of leisure. Can I say those are great and we need to do those things? But alongside that, it is also your pulpit. It is also the place where you get to declare and share and demonstrate the love of Christ. Each and every one of us, friends, each and every one of us, we are the body of Christ. So when people see us, they should see Christ. If we are uninvolved when we are here in church, can I say, and when we gather on Sundays in life group and prayer meetings and Cape Equip, if we are uninvolved here, we will be uninvolved there. Out in the world. As the body of Christ, we have to move from being spectators to participators, because we have an incredible responsibility in Jesus to bring change to this world around us and through this gospel. But he's going to require us taking ownership of this responsibility by doing something about it. Not just talking about it. Not just having a great moment here this morning and leaving and doing nothing about it, but saying, God, here am I, use me. Each and every one of us. Can we run that Formula One pit stop just before you do that? This is a picture. When you watch this, I want you to watch it through the eyes of the church working together for a common purpose, to make Jesus known, for us to know Jesus and make him known. Please run the clip. Yeah, well, if you blinked, you probably wouldn't have seen that. But there is about 20 guys changing four wheels in 2 seconds. Every single person doing and carrying a responsibility. They have a common purpose and they work together to accomplish it. It is amazing. It is honestly amazing. And as the body of Christ, we have to... Oh, sorry, I got a little bit behind there. In the same way, the pit crew is a picture of the church. Every member, every person doing their part and working towards a common vision, a common goal, to know Jesus and make him known. This is our vision. Loving God, loving people, reaching out. It's about Christ. It's about us. It's about loving here first, loving this world, but then it's reaching out with this incredible gospel message of Christ. I'll read to us Romans 12, and I'm going to be bringing in this to a close. Romans 12 says this, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. We, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." That's it, friends. Every member, every person, every body doing its part so that the church can be built up and filled with courage to do what God has called us to do. It has to happen here first before it happens out there. Many hours, I can imagine, are spent practicing and practicing week in, week out, just for those 2 seconds. And you know what's funny? There's one driver, one car, and that driver stands on the podium with a trophy, with a goal. Ha, yeah, I did it. But there's a team of hundreds of people behind him. And the same is true for us. We need to exercise our gifts. We need to put it into practice here and in life group and in prayer meeting. We've got to be involved. We've got to begin to develop and mature. And each and every one of us play a part in bringing the church into maturity, not just the elders or the leaders. Every single one of us. I want to say, if one of those members did not pull their weight and one of those tires were not fitted, the team would not go. And I want to say, when we come here on a Sunday or when we meet in each other's homes or in a life group or wherever it is that we meet, God has placed something in you that is of benefit to someone else. And when you do not exercise that God-given gift, you rob the church. You rob the church of the life of God, of the power of God. God wants to use you because it's not about us. It's about him. Amen? It's about Jesus, our King.